Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Wednesday here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We've got a special guest all the way from Broncos country, Cody Rourke. He hosts the Locked On Broncos podcast. He's a great guy. He's been covering them for a long time, and he knows all things Denver. He was there for all the things that went down with Russell Wilson. I want to get his perspective on the Steelers' addition of Russell Wilson, what it means, the pros, the cons, and why the Denver Broncos took on the largest dead cap hit in NFL history to get rid of him. All that and hearing more on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. We're every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We have daily episodes that come out from all of our different Pittsburgh sports writers here on our podcast network. Be sure to subscribe here to get all those episodes and more. As always, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers, 300 of the beers from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap, and there's new ones being subbed in and out every single day. More on why. That's an amazing place you need to visit in Pittsburgh. But I want to introduce my good friend, Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos. Cody is, he's not Adam Schefter. I'm promising you this now, because as soon as you hear his voice, you're going to be like, whoa, wait a second. Wait a minute. You're trying to pull a fast one here, Chris. But no, Cody's been on the scene for the Broncos country, seeing what's all going on there. Cody, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm good, my friend. Thank you so much for having me. And look, a wild offseason, you know, so far for the NFL. I know for the Steelers, the conversations that they're having there are going to be crazy, especially the fact that they're able to still maintain the Mike Tomlin's winning streak despite how things started for them last year. And look, now you're going to get a new guy maybe under center here in Russell Wilson. I'm very excited to break down the conversations surrounding that, because I have seen Twitter. I have seen everyone thinking that, okay, it's going to be an open competition. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I can't wait to dive into why.
Well, let's dive into a few things. First, I think what most Pittsburgh fans, most Pittsburgh people that are just curious about Russell Wilson, they want to know the inside, what all happened that led to the demise of Russell Wilson with the Denver Broncos. What do you think is the biggest reason why they took such a big dead cap hit to get rid of Russell Wilson? Were there as many problems within the organization with him? Was it just differences with Sean Payton? What was the biggest factor here?
You know, I think there's a lot of different moving parts here. It's not just, I think, one branch that's connected to it. You look at 2022, right? Denver goes out and they trade for Russell Wilson. They pair him with Nathaniel Hackett. As we all know, Nathaniel Hackett, I think everyone saw how disastrous the Jets offense was this past season. We saw Russell Wilson play significantly better this upcoming season. I think you can see, like, oh, wow, like Nathaniel Hackett had no idea what the heck he was doing. And he really did kind of handcuff Russell Wilson a little bit. The offense had no game plan to it in 2022. I can tell you this by talking to Broncos players last season. There were times they were going into the game and they had no idea what the actual emphasis, the plan of attack was. It was just like, we're going to go out there, we're going to try this, like schoolyard BS, you know. That was a huge indicator. And that's a big reason why the Broncos fired Nathaniel Hackett before he even finished his first season. Like, he didn't do anything wrong from a sense of like a behavior standpoint that we saw with Urban Meyer. He just simply wasn't that good, and it was embarrassing the Broncos ownership. So they went all in on going out and getting Sean Payton. Now, for me, and in hindsight now, we saw what happened this past year in Denver. They started off 1-5. Russell Wilson wasn't an issue as to why they were 1-5. The defense was giving up a historic amount of points and yards, and they were just getting gashed left and right. Russell Wilson was actually a big reason. The offense was the reason they were actually in some of those games before it got really ugly there, and they had a comeback against the Chicago Bears in week number 4 there. But on top of that, I think for Sean Payton, the where things went wrong and why the Broncos decided to move on. Part of me felt like Sean Payton was going to come in his first year and see, okay, is there something that I can do for my offense and use Russ going forward? And if not, then, you know, we're going to cut bait. I think Broncos ownership, that was part of the selling point for Sean, maybe in behind closed doors when taking this job and saying, hey, we'll give it a year, but I'm not committed to him long-term. And look, it's not all on Russell Wilson as to why the Broncos struggled this season. I think there's, the fan base here in Denver, they're very passionate. They get very fiery. And the national media made it very easy. Russell Wilson was like an easy punching bag for the national media. Russell Wilson wasn't the problem, to be honest with you. He wasn't the sole problem. Did he have deficiencies in his game in some areas? Yeah, but he's not the reason why. Like, he's the reason why they won some games. 3 touchdown passes against the Kansas City Chiefs to snap that losing streak that Denver had there. That fourth and 10 throw he had in the back end zone to Cortland Sutton. He doesn't make that play. Denver doesn't win. He orchestrated a 2-minute drive in that game. Russ can still play football. Now the question is, can he maximize a little bit of that in Pittsburgh, where they had inconsistencies with Kenny Pickett last year? So in my opinion, the reason the Broncos moved on, Sean Payton said, hey, what I want to achieve with my offense, I can't do it with Russell Wilson. And so that's a big reason why they decided to move off from Russ. Aside from that, I think you're going to see a lot of different people. You're going to hear, you probably have had Broncos fans in your mentions say, Russ is terrible. Russ isn't all that terrible. And I think folks need to get over the emotional aspect of that. Denver traded a lot to get Russ. It didn't work out. That's the nature of the business. Russ still has some pretty good football left to play, in my opinion, Chris.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot to say. We'll get into the on-field stuff shortly. You know, 26 touchdowns and interceptions. I mean, Kenny Pickett's thrown 13 touchdowns in 2 seasons. So I think Steelers fans would easily take would be easily taking that. But I want to stick to the idea here. It's a, the differences with Sean Payton, they were just more in the style of quarterback play that Russell is for what Payton wants for the future. You'd say it's more that than say Russell was maybe a divisive character, because there were clips at the end of games, you know, where, you know, Broncos players were arguing with Russell Wilson, or like you could see like frustrations. And granted, frustrations come naturally when things aren't going great. But you'd say it's more so about the structure that Sean Payton wanted versus anything Russell was doing that made him like a malcontent or just not up with his teammates in the building.
Yeah, no, I think it all had to do with the structure of the offense. Look, Sean is looking for a quarterback who can just stay within the pocket and make plays within the pocket. I mean, Denver had success anytime Russ was out of the pocket, but when he wasn't rolling out of the pocket, I mean, the passing lanes closed up a little bit. You know, there's always talks about height. I'm not worried necessarily about that. This was all mainly a structure of Payton's offense type of decision. And look, I want to be very clear about something here, because I know a lot of Steelers fans are probably wondering about the locker room and the dynamic. How is he received by his teammates? I've been in the locker room for the last 2 seasons, and even in 2022, when it was disastrous and things were going left and right, and you had the clip of a defensive lineman yelling at Russell Wilson, Russ hasn't been an issue. Russ is loved in that locker room by those guys. There's questions about his leadership, and it's like, who's saying these things? Because it certainly is. If you're in the locker room, you see it. You see how well-received Russ is. I mean, these guys go and do things together. I mean, they did when he was here in Denver. Obviously, now he's in Pittsburgh, but the narrative that Russell Wilson isn't liked by his teammates in the Denver locker room is a complete lie. It's blasphemous and entirely false at this point. Are there some guys maybe in the locker room that maybe didn't vibe well? Yeah, but that's every single locker room. It's not just, you know, with Denver. Russ had the respect of everybody on that offense. You had players coming out to defend him: Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Kendall Hinton, other guys, Justin Simmons. You know, when you saw him released by the Denver Broncos, you saw the outpouring of people saying, hey, you know, we support you. We're like, man, this sucks. That's where Russ is. Russ is valued in that locker room. Didn't have a lot of bad relationships in there at all. And I really wanted to put that out there on the record, because it's crazy to see the narratives that get put out there. And then I think it muddies the waters, and I think it scares maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers fan base. What are they getting? They're getting a guy who is a damn good leader, Chris. And I think it'll help out in a big way. I think it's exactly what Mike Tomlin's going to be looking for.
I think the Steelers, they need leadership on the offensive side of the ball. I think that was the biggest thing that they lacked outside of the play structure and their own offensive coordinator issues. I want to talk about Russell Wilson on the field. football wise. We'll do that in a sec here with Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos. I'm Chris Carter of the North Shore Drive podcast and the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, it's right across the street from PNC Park, the baseball stadium, and on Federal Street. You go into Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 20 televisions. So if you're a big college basketball person and you want to get all of the conference tournaments or all of March Madness, there's no better place to go. You can reserve a table even with a TV specified to the game that you specifically want to follow. And when you get in there, there were 500 different available beers. You could go throughout all the different types, IPAs, stouts, lagers, Hefeweizens, sours, whatever you want, they've got. And they over 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap, and they're switching new ones in and out every single day, since you're never out of options when you go to Mike's Beer Bar. And they have a steak on a stone meal, which is a great option to get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone. Every time you cut off a piece, you just press it into the stone, and you choose how well done you want every single bite of your steak. It's the best bar in all of Pittsburgh, Mike's Beer Bar. Go there today, and when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos, breaking down all the angles of Russell Wilson. Now, I told y'all this man sounded like Adam Schefter when he talked, and here he is sounding like Adam Schefter when he talks. So you are not, if you're listening to this on our podcast platform, this is Mr. Cody Rourke. All right, Cody, when I look at Russell Wilson's numbers, a lot of things speak out to me. One, he was very good in his deep passing numbers as far as touchdowns and interceptions. His touchdown interception ratio in general, 26-8. I think anybody talking about the Steelers would say they take that over what they've had over the past 3 years, maybe even 4 years with Ben Roethlisberger. You look at that. You look at his red zone numbers, 20 touchdowns to one interception. He was really efficient in that part of the field. The biggest thing that I hear that's a knock on Russell Wilson as far as, you know, the evaluators and the people that are bringing up is his passing in the middle part of the field. Mm-hmm. There's some saying, oh, that'll clash with Arthur Smith, the Steelers' new offensive coordinator. In your eyes, what is the biggest holdback about Russell Wilson's game right now?
You know, I would say that the game is evolving a little bit more. Like, Russ's style and how he played when he was with Seattle, and we even saw it last year in Denver at times, where being able to make plays off structure have been beneficial for him. But we are also now seeing teams and defenses really try to adjust to force mobile quarterbacks to kind of stand firm in the pocket. And now it's a narrative, obviously, you know, the Steelers are familiar with Lamar Jackson. We've seen him evolve there. Now, Russ, I think, can evolve to that facet, but, you know, a lot of people are going to say his height is an issue in terms of attacking the middle of the field. And certainly that can be a case. I think there were times last year, even in training camp and even in the regular season, where Denver would try to go to the middle of the field and then a pass would be batted down at the line of scrimmage. That is obviously, I think, an evident concern of Russ's game. And I'm very curious to see how it blends with what Arthur Smith wants him to be able to do. But, you know, something we didn't see the Broncos offense do a lot of, and it was so weird coming from a Sean Payton offense. We hardly saw them throw the slant and run slants. There were times where they run some RPO stuff, and they ran a couple of slants, and they went for big plays, and then Denver would never go back to it. So I think that Russ can still hit the deep ball really effectively here. I'm curious to see how that impacts, obviously, a guy like Pickens inside that offense, but even just running the slants. Russ can throw those things there. I'm very curious, though, will the middle of the field stuff work here for the Steelers? That is probably, I'd say, the biggest knock right now, the biggest criticism that you can have on Russ's game, I think, from a valid standpoint.
Yeah, I think that's what I look at. And it's legitimate curiosity, and also just at his build. Like, you know, you talk about the height thing. It's a natural concern, and it's something that definitely played out. And just when you look at the Broncos and how that middle of the field wasn't a place that he could dominate often. And some people bring that up about Arthur Smith's offense. And I think a big part of Arthur Smith's offense, though, is going to be play action. It's going to be using the run to set up those deeper passes where there is natural space in the middle. Why? Because the linebackers are creeping up, because the Steelers are going to want to be a ground and pound team that use their stronger offensive line. They finished the year very strong running the ball. They want to get back to that. They're probably going to draft another tackle or another center to add to this line and make it an even better unit moving forward. And then base it off of that. when you saw the Broncos use play action last year, the numbers, I didn't get to study all season, but the numbers suggest that Russell Wilson was very good there. What did you see him do well in play action situations?
I think play action opened things up. I mean, we saw some deep shots out of the play action there. You look at a lot of Russ's passes last year, you're going to see a lot of people talking about, well, you know, there was a large portion of it, a percentage-wise, that was either at the line of scrimmage or behind it. I mean, Denver checked down quite a bit last year, but here's the thing I don't think people are talking enough about here, and this is something that I watched in practice. I watched it, you know, behind the scenes when we'd watch them run the offense on air, and a lot of Sean Payton's route concepts were designed to be long developing to try to scheme guys open. And look, I think if you have good enough protection or whatnot, it can help. But we never got to see Denver get to that protection standpoint last season. That the stuff that we are seeing them run in practice and you watch it in games, like, you don't have time when you actually have a pass rush presence in your face. It looks great on air. And you, ideally, if you're watching on air, you're like, wow, like, how come they can't execute that? These are great route designs. But when it's not, you don't have time as a quarterback to see it. And look, there were some times where Russ would miss seeing guys. I know you're going to see a clip of him missing Jerry Jeudy against the Houston Texans. But folks, I mean, we're going to nitpick every little thing. Like, this happens all the time. It depends who's the primary read, right? And Russ, there's a narrative about him that he never gets off of his first read. There's time he scans the entire field, and when he's pressure, he's looking to create plays. Scramble drill is going to be a very important part of what the Steelers need to emphasize, I think, in coaching a little bit, because Russ does love to get out of, you know, out of the pocket and on the run there. But he can do all those things out of the play action. I think if you have a good run game there, setting things up, obviously, with Najee Harris, Jalen Warren. I mean, I even think a great security blanket for a guy like Russell Wilson that I think is going to really take the next step forward. I think Pat Freiermuth is going to have a big season this upcoming year. Denver didn't have a good enough tight end option for them last season. It was embarrassing. Like, they put all the eggs in Greg Dulcich being healthy. He got hurt. He didn't play really a single game. Like, he played probably a quarter and a half total for the Broncos last year, and they had nobody else who could be a legitimate pass-catching option with size. They had Adam Trautman, but he was slow. Pat Freiermuth is a different animal. He's going to see a big boost this year, I think, inside that offense, and I think play action is going to be a huge part of that.
I agree here. One more question before we move to the next segment where I talk about him and Kenny Pickett specifically. But one of the things that, you know, you talked about is he was well-liked in the Broncos locker room. Jerry Jeudy's again, guy speaking up for him. How did you see Russell Wilson kind of build the relationships with his playmakers on offense? Because that's part of being a quarterback, right, is getting these guys to trust you, getting on the same page that you, so that when you see the same things that the defense does, you can adjust at the same time and have that great relationship there. George Pickens is a guy who has been pretty fiery for the Steelers, and he can be a guy that, you know, you need that connection with. What have you seen from Russell Wilson that suggests that maybe he can do that with a whole new team again?
I think you see a lot of team building stuff, like just guys hanging out away from the team facility. Look, I get it. As a football player, you go to the team facility. I think there's a myth that so many people don't understand. I think so many fans don't realize, Chris, you know this as well as I do. I think the myth and the perception is that players just show up to practice for 2 hours and then go home, and then they just show up on Sundays. These guys are at the facility Monday through Saturday, essentially from 8 o'clock a.m. to about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, depending on treatment and things like that. Like, it is extensive. It is a full-time job. And away from that, Russ makes time to get together with teammates. He takes the offensive linemen out to dinner, I think, every Thursdays, and he brings the wide receivers along with him. Those are the things you're going to see. And I think for a guy like Pickens, who's so passionate, right? And you mentioned that the emotional curve is up and down with him. I think a guy like Russell Wilson will help him. And look, there's going to be times, I think, where, maybe you don't get, you're open and he doesn't see you, or doesn't have enough time to deliver to you because there's pressure, whatever it may be. I think you're going to see that emotion there. But Russ never lets any of that stuff bother him, right? Russ is very accountable in that regard there. And even if a teammate throws him under the bus or says something or reacts a certain way, Russ is never going to return that type of shot. He's going to build that guy up. And, you know, and I think that's where people get frustrated about Russell Wilson, right? Because you see all these people who say things about Russ, and Russ always kills them with kindness. That's just who Russ is, and he's never going to change. But I think it rubs people the wrong way, because in today's society, that stuff isn't, you know, it's always good to clap back at people. Russ is not that type of dude. So he's going to be, I think, a good, calm presence that maybe the Steelers need. I mean, I from watching the Steelers from afar last year, Chris, from the outside looking in, I felt like that was something that they were missing from the quarterback. It felt like there was a lot of question marks about leadership from the quarterback position. you're not having any questions about that with Russell Wilson. He's going to bring that instantly. And I guarantee you, he's already been in contact with Steelers receivers. They're probably going to come out to California to his other residence, and he's probably going to throw to them this offseason. So I think that there's going to be a lot of things you're going to see here with Russ, and he's going to get started on it right away.
There's certainly a lot to talk about there. That's a perfect way to segue into the next segment, because that's where I wanted to go at next. Him, Kenny Pickett. There's some in Pittsburgh who feel like, hey, Kenny Pickett's still going to be the guy that starts with it because he's been with the organization. I want to talk to Bacody about that here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter here with Cody Rourke of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Cody, let's talk about Russ and Kenny, because these are two guys who, you know, Kenny has been likable with the Steelers, but it's one thing to be likable and to say and do the right things at the right moments. But if you do that and you don't deliver on the field, it's going to be tough for people to get behind you. And I think that's the struggle that Kenny Pickett has had. Like, going into last season, people were calling him Big Ken. They were really excited. You know, the Steelers, they scored, the first team offense scored every single possession with a touchdown in preseason. There was so much hype into, hell, Kenny Pickett's ready to take that next step. Maybe he's going to figure it out. And then the regular season happened, and that wasn't the case. He threw six touchdowns, I think eight interceptions. Numbers, he's thrown 13 touchdowns and 13 interceptions in his first 2 years with the Steelers. So naturally, when you go and look at Russell Wilson, a 9-time Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champion, a guy who's gotten MVP votes before in his career, this is a guy who has all the experience. He just threw 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions in an offense, like you said, that wasn't completely fitting his style of play, and there were problems there. If you're reasonable and you're looking at the Steelers, you're like, I would take that in a heartbeat over Kenny Pickett. In your eyes, is this a no-doubt, no-brainer? This is now Russell Wilson's job and Kenny Pickett's just got to watch from the sidelines? Or do you think there's an actual competition that should happen here?
I don't think there's going to be a competition. I don't think Russell's going to sign with a team where he was going to compete to start, or he was going to be in line for the backup job. I think the promise is, like, for him signing, and as quick as he did, is he's going to be the guy here. But look, this doesn't mean that's a death sentence for Kenny Pickett. Right. I think this is an opportunity for Kenny Pickett to learn from Russ. And look, I can tell you this, Russ will be a very, very important figure in terms of just helping Kenny. He's going to teach him on how to be a pro, how to manage. Like, I think one thing too, I started to get the sense a little bit late last year when, you know, there was debates as whether or not Kenny Pickett was healthy, whether he could come back and play, and then that he decided not to play like himself, like he made that decision when he was healthy to do so. There was a lot of criticism about Kenny Pickett. I think if one thing, you're going to have to learn how to tune out the noise in the NFL. Look, us in the media, our job is to talk about things. And yes, sometimes, look, there are people in the media who don't necessarily always do it the right way. There's people who like to take personal shots, and that's never been my style. And that's where I think, like, I've seen that happen to Russ. I've seen that happen with Kenny Pickett. I think Russ can be a great mentor for a guy like Kenny Pickett. Because, look, here's the deal. It's a one-year deal. The Steelers aren't paying really anything more than $1 million toward Russ this season. Denver's picking up the whole tab on what that was going to be. In my opinion, for Pittsburgh, this is a low-risk, high-reward type of situation. You look at how good the defense is. Look, there's even a chance that maybe Justin Simmons signs with the Steelers. There's been some rumblings that he maybe wants to play alongside Minkah Fitzpatrick, which would be a great tandem there. In my opinion, Russ will be a good option for Pittsburgh this year. And I think for Kenny Pickett, learn everything you can from Russ, because you can still take over, right? And you still need to be ready, right? You need to prepare as if, hey, I'm still going to be the starter. That should be the mindset here for Kenny, and focus on those areas of his game. Now, also, I think another thing we need to talk about here is there was all these conversations over the years. I felt like Mike Tomlin, just from an outside perspective, I felt like Mike Tomlin took way too long to pull the plug on Matt Canada. I think that experiment hurt the development of some guys inside Pittsburgh's offense. And I think it definitely had an impact on Kenny Pickett and the quarterback room there. Obviously, they made a change in house. There's not much you can do. You can't revamp the entire system mid-season. Now I think you have a chance now with Arthur Smith coming in and an install. There's going to be a learning curve, right? But maybe this is going to be something that benefits a guy like Kenny Pickett long-term. We saw obviously what Arthur Smith was able to do when he was working with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. Now we can debate how things went for him in Atlanta. But aside from all that, I think that Kenny Pickett is actually going to be in a better spot after this year than he was necessarily going into this season in general before Russell Wilson signed.
That's where I think the big question is for Kenny Pickett is how does he handle this? How does he, one thing we got from talking to the Steelers quarterback room was very friendly to each other. Like we know when Ben Roethlisberger was here and Ben and Mason did not get along. That was public. It was very obvious. Mason Rudolph even made comments once he became the starter at the end of the season. That's like, he's like, this is the most supportive quarterback room I've ever been in. And so like, that's, you know, that I think that's less been a problem. Russell Wilson, though, brings a different dynamic. And Kenny Pickett was the first round draft pick. The people used to chant this guy's name when he first started with the Steelers. Then at the end of the year, they were chanting Mason Rudolph's name. And now you're going to have Russell Wilson. If Russell Wilson comes in and performs, they're going to be chanting his name. And that can be something that can be tough for a guy who's been through that to get through. But I think this could be a great test for Kenny Pickett's fortitude that the Steelers want to see. Like, look, you know, the Steelers even said they still believe in Kenny Pickett. They think that he can be the guy. But you're crazy if you think that what Russell Wilson brings to the table isn't better than what Kenny Pickett's shown so far. And you know what? If you go into training camp and Kenny Pickett's just that much better than Russell Wilson, that's a part of a major comeback story. And you're like, hey, that is Big Ken. That is the guy over there that you believe in. You know, but if it takes him a year to figure that out and then you revisit this in 2025 and you're saying, okay, Kenny Pickett, you were on the bench for the season. What'd you learn? Let's see how you develop there. And also, Russell Wilson, like you said, as a leader, as a guy who's been in NFL offenses, if he can show, here's a blueprint with Arthur Smith's offense. Arthur Smith's offense isn't going to ask the quarterback to throw for, you know, 40 times a game. It's going to ask the quarterback to throw maybe 25 to 30 when things are working the way it's supposed to, take shots when you need to, and let the run game and the pace of the game be controlled by the offensive line, the line of scrimmage, and then, of course, like you said, the defense for the Steelers, which ranked sixth in scoring defense last year, to carry the weight. And the quarterback, your job is take the throws that are there, don't lose the game, which, to be honest, I think that was the goal last year. It just wasn't done well until the end of the season when Mason Rudolph came in. So if Arthur Smith can draw up an offense that and communicate this through week to week, I think that was the biggest problem for Matt Canada was no one knew what was going on half the time. But if Arthur Smith can orchestrate an offense that makes it easier on the quarterback and Russell Wilson paves the way and he shows it, that could be the blueprint that says, hey, Kenny Pickett, just do it like that. And then you're a starter. And then the Steelers are like, you know what? We can work with this guy because we're still about the offensive line and the run game and the playmakers and the defense winning. All you got to do is Brock Purdy, baby. Just take what's there and make it work.
Well, yeah. And you made a great point a little bit earlier on here in this segment talking about, you know, the preseason, Kenny and the offense lighting it up. I think you look at the inverse, you look at around the NFL. Remember CJ Stroud at the Houston Texans? He was throwing interceptions in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, what is going on there? And then look what he did in the NFL regular season. So, I mean, it's just guys are going to take time. Like guys are going to learn either quicker or learn a little bit slower. I think that you've seen some first-round quarterbacks, I think, really in the modern era now. I think Patrick Mahomes has really ruined the true evaluation of a quarterback. Now, though he didn't play his rookie season,
yes,
ideally his second year was his rookie season, and he lit it up. The thing is I think everyone has the expectation that a first-round quarterback has to play like a Patrick Mahomes or else it doesn't work out. Like, look at the Trevor Lawrence draft class. Like, Trevor Lawrence is probably the only guy in that class you can say, like, okay, hey, this guy is probably the only good quarterback prospect out of there that is actually lighting it up and that is still a really good player. The evaluation on QBs, the expectations, I get it. First round guy, there's going to be a lot of pressure, but not everybody's going to play like a first round quarterback right away. And I know that some people say, hey, Kenny was a reach in the first round. There was something that Pittsburgh saw in him that they felt like can be molded into what they want him to be, right? And you have to let that play out. And by bringing in a guy like Russell Wilson, you're going to allow, I think, Kenny Pickett to understand what those things are and hopefully unlock that in a year where he sits behind Russ and is his backup, but also has a chance, like there might be opportunities where he might be able to step in and play as well.
Absolutely. We will see how all of this plays out in Pittsburgh. We still have a lot to go through. We still have the rest of free agency to go through. We don't know who the Steelers' third quarterback is. There's a lot of different moves. Cody Rourke saying maybe Justin Simmons. That would turn a lot of heads in Pittsburgh. What do they do? We'll keep you up to date here on the North Shore Drive podcast. But Cody, thank you so much for joining us here on the North Shore Drive podcast with the Pittsburgh Post. Let people know where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yeah, I do stuff every day at my obviously Mile High Sports, Lockdown Broncos. I'm a beat reporter for Mile High Sports. I'm always in the Broncos locker room, go to every single game there and cover the team. And Chris, I'm looking forward to seeing you this year when the Broncos host the Steelers. Russell Wilson returning to Denver. The storyline just right itself, my friend. But you can catch me there obviously on Twitter or Threads at Cody Rourke NFL. Appreciate you for having me on.
Thank you, Cody. Thank you all for tuning in to the North Shore Drive podcast. This was the Wednesday edition with Chris Carter here. You can follow me at Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com for all of that. And again, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for this show, the North Shore Drive podcast, as well as daily. As you see, I'm not in my normal surroundings. I'm in Washington, D.C., getting ready to cover the ACC tournament with my partner, Noah Hiles. He and I will be covering Pitt all throughout the week as they try to take the ACC crown. Stay tuned with that here on the Post-Gazette Network. Back Friday with more here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. See you then. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.